The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Back in 1986, a longtime friend and colleague, Richard Cowan, wrote an article for the National Review entitled, How the Narcs Created Crack. In it, he laid out a principle he called the Iron Law of Prohibition. It goes like this. The more intense the law enforcement, the more potent the drugs will become. That's just how the market goes. We go from coca tea and coca-infused wine to cocaine powder to crack. From ephedra to dexedrine and black beauties to ice and crystal meth. From opium gum to heroin and China white and black tar, then to oxys, then fentanyl and fentanyl analogs. And now we have nitazenes showing up. What are nitazenes, you ask? Stay tuned, because on this edition of Century of Lies, we look at the next big thing in new and novel psychoactive drugs. Nitazenes. The Health Service Executive, or HSE, is the Republic of Ireland's public health and social care service. They held a webinar on nitazenes recently. Let's hear from one of the presenters. Rachel Christie is with the European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction.
So during this presentation, we're going to look at nitazenes through three broad lenses, covering their emergence, the response mechanisms that are available and have been used at EU level, and finally, the preparedness toolkit that will be needed to prepare for and to respond to possible increases in nitazene availability and potentially associated harms. Nitazenes, also known as benzimidazoles, are potent synthetic opioids. They were originally developed in the mid-1950s as an attempt to develop better and safer opioids. While several benzimidazoles were in fact patented, notably these attempts did not result in any marketed analgesic medicines. Similar to other types of opioid analgesics such as morphine and fentanyl, nitazenes act on the mu opioid receptors. Many are at least as potent as fentanyl, some are more potent. And the effects of nitazenes share similarities with fentanyl and other opioid analgesics. Those acute effects can include euphoria, relaxation, analgesia, sedation, bradycardia, hypothermia, respiratory depression. Importantly, respiratory depression, if left untreated, can lead to respiratory arrest and death. And this risk can be exacerbated by the use of other central nervous system depressants. And as we're going to hear later on during the course of this webinar, the timely administration of naloxone has been shown to be effective in reversing respiratory depression. Between the mid-1960s and the mid-2000s, there were occasional reports regarding the nitazene, etanitazene. But nitazenes really first emerged in the drug market in 2019. This histogram here highlights the emergence of nitazenes as a response to the introduction of generic control measures for fentanyl derivatives, also known as fentanyls, in China in May 2019. And we're going to come back to this histogram in a little bit more detail in a later slide. But I think it's important at this point to take a minute to look more closely at the chemical scaffolds of benzimidazole and fentanyl, because we've mentioned these in the first initial slides. Examples of better known nitazenes and fentanyls, etanitazene and carfentanil, are illustrated here on the right-hand side of the slide, just for additional illustrative and contextual purposes. As you see here on the left-hand side of the slide, benzimidazole is structurally unrelated to fentanyl. However, what's important here is that small structural modifications to both scaffolds can and has produced a series of analogous substances within both the nitazene and fentanyl categories. If you see here on the benzimidazole scaffold, we have small modifications at the R1, R2 and R3 groups. Just generally to mention that by changing and adding modifications here, for example, changing the length of the alkyl chain, alkoxy chain, the type of parabenzyl substituent and the presence of a 5-nitro group all affect the potency of these compounds. And interestingly, a recent paper by Glafelter and his colleagues on the in vitro and in vivo effects of nitazene analogues were examined and compared to morphine and fentanyl. And it was reported that through the course of the analysis done in that paper, that the alkoxy chain, so that chain branch, had a significant influence on potency. So we're still learning regarding these particular substances. So to reiterate that point on the impact of small modifications, these are the complete range of structures of all the 16 nitazenes that the EMCDDA is currently monitoring. The nitazene protonitazepine, also known as N-pyrrolidino protonitazene, is highlighted here amongst all the other nitazenes, as this is the substance that will be mentioned later with particular reference to the most recent outbreaks of overdoses in Ireland. The first nitazene to have emerged on the EU drug market was isotonitazene in 2019. In 2020, five nitazenes were identified, followed by three in 2021, one in 2022, and six in 2023. So 2023 represented the highest number of nitazenes notified in a single year. And at this point, nitazenes make up 20% of the total number of opioids that are monitored by the early warning system. As nitazenes have emerged, so too has the published work in the academic literature and through variations of sharing that information through online sharing, of information, particularly information on the analysis and identification of these substances at a global level. So that contributes really substantially to our greater understanding of this developing situation. And I just provide some examples here of some of the key and recent information that has become available, as I said, through the academic literature and through online information. We touched briefly on this histogram in a previous slide, and it illustrates the number of synthetic opioids identified for the first time in the EU since 2009. It's broken down by category. Other opioids, so not fentanyls or benzimidazoles, which are also referred to as nitazenes, are in dark blue. Fentanyls in the slightly darker blue begin appearing around 2012, and identifications of new fentanyls increase until 2019, when, as mentioned earlier, the generic control of fentanyls in China came into effect. From this point on, starting in 2019, we see the emergence of nitazenes. And since 2019, almost three quarters of the 29 countries that report and are part of the early warning system, the EU early warning system network, have reported the identification of one or more nitazenes, and that includes Ireland. Our most recent seizure data from 2022 illustrates that just over 250 seizures of nitazenes amounting to just over 3 kilograms of material in the form of tablets, capsules, and liquids have been seized. Most of the seizures relate to detections of protonitazene and metanitazene, and to a lesser extent, isotonitazene, etazine, and butanitazene. Also, just to mention that preliminary information from seizures and deaths reported in 2023 suggests that metanitazene and protonitazene continue to be the main nitazenes on the market. And also, I think it's important to highlight here that metanitazene and protonitazene were internationally controlled in 2023 under the 1961 UN Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs. When it comes to the manufacture, processing and supply of nitazenes, the information is limited. What we can say is that information from law enforcement suggests that they are manufactured by companies in China and shipped to distributors and consumers in Europe by express mail and courier services. Furthermore, that distribution within Europe has been reported, particularly related to online sales. Reports mostly from customs seizures indicates a number of countries: France, Germany, Greece, the Netherlands, Poland, Spain and the UK, as the current country of origin of consignments of nitazenes between 2020 and 2023. Furthermore, information from seizures and test purchases made in 2023 indicate France, Germany and Poland as the country of origin. In October of 2023, the Metropolitan Police in the UK seized 150,000 tablets containing an unspecified nitazene in a sophisticated factory setup in East London, as you can see here in the images. It is suspected that those drugs were sold via the darknet or the dark web using encrypted chat web applications and social media. Now, a worrying concern relates to the possible increase of fake opioid and benzodiazepine medicines containing nitazenes in Europe. In June of last year, Swedish customs seized 100 fake oxycodone tablets containing metanidazine, while in September, Portuguese police seized over 5,000 fake oxycodone tablets containing N-diazethyl isotonitazine, which was formally notified in last year as well. Moving on to October, police in the United Kingdom seized, as I mentioned already, approximately 150,000 oxycodone tablets containing nitazines. And by November, Finnish police had seized fake Subutex or buprenorphine tablets containing metanidazine, and Swedish customs had seized more than 3,000 fake OxyContin tablets containing metanidazine. Those tablets, as you can see in the picture below on at the far right-hand side of the slide, were found in a Polish taxi coming off a ferry in Karlskrona. You can see the illustrations of these detections in the images below. And when we look into more recent times, in December, the health authorities in the UK issued an alert due to an increase in fake benzodiazepine medicines containing nitazine. And in 2024, so our most recent kind of information to date regards Finnish police seizing 1,000 fake Subutex tablets containing metanidazine, as you can see here in the image below. Since 2022, there's also been an increase in reports of nitazine detections and, importantly, an increase in deaths where nitazines have been identified. Specifically, in 2022, 43 deaths with nitazines have occurred in 5 countries. And 4 nitazines were involved in those cases. They were protonitazine, metanitazine, isotonitazine, and etazine. And the majority of these deaths occurred in the second half of 2022. And what you can see here is that a number of the same substances, same nitazines, are being mentioned. Localized outbreaks of poisonings caused by nitazines missold as heroin were also reported during 2023 by France and Ireland. In France, this outbreak occurred in Montpellier in February and March. While it was limited in size, it involved at least 4 non-fatal poisonings and at least 1 death. 2 collected samples were then analysed and found to contain isotonitazine. One of those was missold as Chinese heroin, the other as heroin. In the case of Ireland, I'm not going to go into massive detail here because I know it's going to be addressed very well during the course of the webinar. Just to mention that in this case, the outbreaks occurred in Dublin in November and Cork in December. These were more extensive than the outbreak that I just mentioned in France. And the outbreaks were suspected to have involved 57 and 8 non-fatal poisonings in Dublin and Cork, respectively. Those outbreaks were linked to the use of a brown powder sold as heroin. And subsequent analysis of seized samples related to the Dublin outbreak identified that nitazine that I highlighted earlier, protonitazepine. Multiple widespread outbreaks of poisonings have been recorded in the UK involving a number of different nitazines. In this case, at least 65 deaths with confirmed exposure to nitazines have been recorded since June, and many deaths appear to be related to heroin use, with one or more nitazines being directly mixed with heroin by different suppliers. These are different to the outbreaks in France and Ireland, where nitazine did not contain any heroin, and fake medicines, particularly oxycodone, diazepam and alprazolam, containing nitazines have also been reported. Looking to other developments and signals of concern regarding nitazines, 2021 saw the emergence of trank dope, so opioids mixed with the sedative and analgesic xylazine. Those opioids, including nitazines mixed with xylazine, have been detected in 4 countries in the early warning system network, most of those in Estonia and Latvia, and that includes in deaths and residue analysed from used injecting equipment. In 2022, we then saw the emergence of benzodope, so opioids mixed with new benzodiazepines, for example, bromazolam. Seizures again reported by Estonia and Latvia, and in both countries, the same mixtures have been identified in residues analysed from used syringes. So moving to responses, isotonitazine provides a useful illustration of the timeline and the range of responses at EU level to this particular nitazine. Responses to new psychoactive substances such as nitazines begin with a detection and the analytical identification of a new substance in the EU. Once a new substance has been analytically confirmed and reported to the EMCDDA, we can then start monitoring the substance following the issuing of a formal notification, the example of which you can see on the left-hand side of the screen here. A formal notification is issued to our early warning system network and contains all of the known and available information on that substance, including chemical, pharmacological, and toxicological information. This formal notification is disseminated to the national focal points in our network, to a range of actors within those national networks, such as law enforcement, hospitals, poison centres, forensic and toxicological laboratories, and so forth. As we monitor the substance, more information can become available and is constantly reviewed by the team here. In some cases where an increase in identifications of potential risks or harms associated with a substance become known to us, we may decide to inform our network through a risk communication on that substance. In the case of isotretinoin, a risk communication was issued in early 2022 as a result of those reasons. We then continue to monitor the reports of detections of that substance through the European Database on New Drugs, also known as EDND. And this is an example of one of our substance profiles for isotretinoin. This database is the main repository of all information and analytical data on NPS or new psychoactive substances in Europe. It's updated daily, and access is restricted to members of the Early Warning System Network through their national focal points and other experts. Following a review of the information available on isotretinoin, a detailed investigation of the substance was carried out by the EMCDDA, and ultimately in May 2020, a risk assessment was conducted. Isotretinoin was subsequently controlled at EU level and later controlled at international level under the 1961 UN Single Convention. More generally, recent responses to the emergence of nitazenes in the EU have included the issuing of risk communications from the early warning system to our early warning system network in the form of advisories to our network. And you can see examples of those risk communications that were issued as early warning system advisories. We alerted our network to, for instance, outbreaks of poisonings in France, the UK and Ireland. Another part of the response to nitazenes at EU level has included placing individual nitazenes under intensive monitoring. So all new psychoactive substances, as I mentioned earlier, are monitored by the EMCDDA from the point of formal notification to our network. During the course of the monitoring, the EMCDDA may identify signals that suggest that a new psychoactive substance may pose severe public health or social risks. And those substances are then subjected to intensive monitoring so that we can better assess, monitor and understand the risks that that substance may pose. So they are then placed on an intensive monitoring list and they're regularly reviewed. And just to mention that the nitazenes that are currently on that monitoring intensive monitoring list include protonitazepine, etomethazine, etinitazepam, protonitazine and so forth. Part of the response includes the idea that the substances, as I mentioned, need to be analytically identified. Forensic science is at the core of the EU early warning system. We monitor and respond to substances which have been analytically identified. Therefore, information sharing and the provision of analytical data and analytical libraries is an integral element of how we can respond to nitazenes. The EDND, and this is a one part of the EDND where we house all of the analytical data, is another element of how we can respond to nitazenes. The EDND contains analytical data on more than 1,000 new psychoactive substances. So it provides laboratories across our network with support in the identification of new and emerging substances. And this is just more information that we provide for analytical detection to those laboratories through the EDND. Another aspect of how we have been responding over the last few years is through having expert technical meetings on the topic of concern regarding new synthetic opioids and nitazenes. And through those avenues, we develop a better understanding of the situation as it's developing. And we also share publicly information through our reports that we publish through the EMCDDA website. So anybody can access our reports For example, our new psychoactive substances update from 2022 is available on the MCDA website, and that will contain a lot of the information regarding developing situations regarding MPS. So to come finally, because I'm getting close to the end of my time, just to mention on the preparedness toolkit, I've spoken a lot about the emergence and the responses, and preparedness is essentially a toolkit, and it requires a multifactorial kind of approach. This will be discussed in much more detail, and you'll see clear examples of this through the course of this webinar. But from our perspective, the key elements include early warning systems, a really strong emphasis on communication and information exchange and sharing, that the analytical resources and capabilities are sufficient to meet the demands of a newly emerging situation, such as what we're covering today. Obviously, the planning that is required around that, and what are the needs and maybe gaps in knowledge. And then finally, to mention, as I said at the start, the availability and use of naloxone, which I guess will be discussed in much more detail shortly. And thank you for your attention. Just to mention that this information and more detailed information is available on the MCDA website. And during 2024, as part of the European Drug Markets publication, we will have a specific module on the MPS market. So that's due out in 2024. So I would ask you to keep an eye out on the MCDA website.
That was Rachel Christie, Principal Scientific Analyst in the Action on New Drugs sector of the European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction, speaking February 22nd on a webinar entitled Safeguarding Communities Against Nitazenes that was hosted by Ireland's HSE. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Nikki Killeen is the Project Manager for Emerging Drug Trends with the HSE National Social Inclusion Office.
My presentation today is going to be far less scientific, and it's going to be looking at some of the practical elements that we need to consider in our preparations. So we have heard today that we do foresee future occurrences. We are concerned, and I suppose I really want to speak to frontline workers, I suppose, to reinforce and remind the important role that you have, not only in responding, but to monitor and report. As Eamon highlighted initially, the initial outbreak in Dublin in November was detected very quickly by people in frontline services. So I just want to highlight today some of our work and how we're looking at preparing in collaboration with services and areas moving forward. So just, I know Eamon provided some context in terms of our work and the work that we have been doing in the lead up to the outbreak. There has been monitoring in the background, I suppose, through our HSE projects. We have been trying to look at new sources. We did identify gaps in our monitoring, and some of those areas were highlighted by Eamon. Just in the regular flow of day-to-day activities of work in our office, we are in constant communication with a range of stakeholders, and we're looking at a range of trends. So I just wanted to start off by highlighting that in terms of the stakeholder networks, and to just reinforce how important it is for all of us to remain in communication moving forward. The more awareness we have, the better plans we have to be prepared. If we have emergency responses in place should we need them, we are going to reduce harm, and we did see that from our initial response to the first outbreaks. In terms of our work in general, there's not always a need for an alert. Sometimes situations can be isolated or localized. Sometimes we need to just provide information to service networks or to people who use drugs. And we've been doing that for some time with some other trends, such as synthetic cannabinoids and new tablets, which have been found on the market. So just to kind of highlight, when you are communicating with your frontline service users, we try to limit the amount of red alerts that are issued in Ireland. And when they are issued, they need to be taken extremely serious. They will only be issued when we do think there is a very serious threat for life. Just some lessons, I suppose, we've seen, I suppose, that we do need to be prepared. We've seen, from Eamon, how we moved through the first outbreaks, but just some takeaway messages. Frontline service providers and the people that are here today, your roles are extremely essential. You will be the first people who may notice a signal of change, and it is extremely important for you to know when to report or how to report. Overall, what we are seeing is that overdoses will be noticeably different. They'll be difficult, more complex to manage, and they may need extra doses of naloxone. And I know we've had some questions in on that. The anecdotal information that you get is really important. And I want to highlight that, that, you know, the anecdotal information may not always be the alert, but if it's sent to me, and as it was through the previous alerts, I can map and monitor, I suppose, and put a framework on the anecdotal information to see what is valuable and what we need. And we did use a lot of anecdotal information from frontline service providers in our outbreak response. These can be really unexpected. Look, they always seem to happen when we least expect it, you know, Friday evening of a bank holiday weekend. So we need to have those plans in place, because these can hit very sudden. And what we saw with the first Dublin outbreak, they move fast. The batches move extremely fast. So having our speed of mobilisation is essential. Our naloxone, our preparation plans there, we can't exactly measure it, but we know naloxone undoubtedly saved lives through the outbreaks. So having those kind of preparation plans in place, we now know as well that the risk communications can be extremely effective. They can deter people from wanting to access that batch. Some people may seek that batch, but we know that they can then move to different markets. So we saw the movement from Dublin to Cork, and usually the progress would be the next big city. So cities need to be prepared if other cities are responding. In terms of our preparation plans, just to highlight, we issued national preparation guidelines in December, very quickly after the first outbreaks. There's key headings there. These were shared with CHO managers. And what we asked was that people looked at establishing local networks. So whether that was establishing their own groups with a health lead and deciding what each area would have as their plans to feed into the national red alert group that Eamon chairs. I'm just going to highlight some key points today. While they're all extremely important in terms of beginning your harm reduction preparation, beginning your rollout and expansion of naloxone, ensuring you've adequate doses in your service, offering treatment as a harm reduction tool, I'm going to look at specifically what you need to look at in terms of monitoring, emergency planning, and really working with people who use drugs as part of your preparation plans. So in terms of our interim guidelines, we appreciate that services are working extremely hard on the ground, and these cases are complex, but we must not miss the important data that can not only help us, but our European colleagues in piecing together more information that's required to know how we respond and adapt to these drugs. So overall, we're asking services, whether that's through local groups which have been established or reporting directly to me, it's fine either way. We really want to know if you pick up any signals of change in terms of new products, if people think synthetic opiates are for sale, if there's stronger batches, or if there's just general concern. So looking towards those light powders, but also concern for tablets and other products. Not every situation may be nitazenes. We have looked at a few recently which have not been nitazenes, but we need to investigate it. We need to look at it. It's easier to respond the sooner we get the information. It's very difficult if we receive the information a few weeks later.
That was Nikki Killeen, Project Manager for Emerging Drug Trends with the HSE National Social Inclusion Office, speaking February 22nd on a webinar entitled Safeguarding Communities Against Nitazenes that was hosted by Ireland's HSE. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Find this edition of Century along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh.
For the Drug Truth
so
Network,
long.
This is
so
Doug
long.
McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.